the teens, an upcoming event that we have coming is June 16th, is Harmony by the Bay. It's put on by some area Christians in Menominee. Different Christian bands and organizations get together, and it's a free event, and so we are working on getting those details out to our teens on Wednesday night of what all it's going to look like. It's a free event. We'll provide the transportation down there, but if you want lunch or something like that, you're going to have to provide for that. So that's all I had in announcements. Today we continue our study in the roles in the New Testament church. We have looked through several things. We've looked at the role of Jesus Christ in the New Testament church as the bridegroom. And we looked at Jesus Christ as the chief shepherd, the great shepherd, the good shepherd, in as we walked through what these roles in the New Testament church were. So the roles in the New Testament church, Jesus Christ, we see the pastor, elder, bishop, overseer. We look through the Word of God, and we have come to the conclusion that these are all the same role as we look through different qualifications, as we looked at the different things that they are to be doing. We come to that conclusion. We looked at their role 2 weeks ago. We looked at their qualifications several weeks ago now. Today we're going to be looking at the role of the deacon, and next week the role of the saints, which is you and I. And so when we look at the role of the deacon, we look at the role of the pastor, we look at the role of the saints, and we realize that Jesus Christ is the head of the church, as Scripture tells us. He is over the church, and all part of the church are these other three roles, the saints, the pastor, the deacons. As we go to look at the word that we get our word deacon from is a Greek word, and I'm not to bore you, I'm not to put over your head that I know Greek and you don't, because some of you know Greek better than me, and you'll be able to pronounce these probably flawlessly like my wife does, as she reminded me last night as I was going through. She was the one that helped me get through Greek. And I said, yes, well, yes, hon, you did. And I wouldn't have graduated college without that. She helped me get through English as well. There's three Greek words, and you see them up on the screen there. Those three Greek words are all seen throughout Scripture over 100 times, but not every time in Scripture do we see these Greek words refer to the office in the church called the deacon. For instance, in John chapter 2, on the third day, for there was a wedding in Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus also was invited to the wedding with his disciples. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." You go back and look, that word diakonos is what was referred to there in that verse, servants. In Romans 13, we see, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For the rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval, for he is God's servant." And later on, he says, "For in his the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the evil doer." We also see in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of service, but the same Lord, and there is a variety of activities, but if the same God who empowers them all in everyone." See, all throughout Scripture, we see these words used several times. Over 100 times these words are used to describe service, to describe servants, to describe table servants, table changers. And so we look at those words and we realize that from the definition that we see that a deacon is a servant. All right, so we have this very broad word, diakonos, which means servant. And so when we get our transliterated word deacon, we say that the deacons are servants in the church. What are the qualifications? If you turn with me and read up on the screen of 1 Timothy chapter 3, remember Paul wrote this to Timothy. He's in Ephesus. And what Paul writes to Timothy is this. He says, deacons in verse 8, likewise, must be dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain. They must hold in the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience, and let them also be tested first, that them serve as deacons if they prove themselves blameless. Their wives, likewise, must be dignified, not slanderers, not sober-minded, faithful in all things. Let the deacons each be the husband of one wife, managing his children and his own household well. For those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. When we went through several weeks ago looking at the qualifications, we actually started lumping these qualifications together to see there is such an overlap in these qualifications. The qualifications listed in verses 1 through 7 are also qualifications listed for the deacon, but there were some separated ones. There were some that weren't listed in with the deacons. One of them, the apt to teach. When we looked at what the role of the pastor was, the role of the pastor is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. We preached on that 2 weeks ago, and we said that is his role. And how is that role played out? Equipping the saints for the work of the ministry is done by the teaching of the Word of God, by the preaching of the Word of God. We looked at, through Acts, Paul and the other apostles tell the early church that the shepherds were to care for the flock. Another word for that care for the flock was that the shepherds were to feed the flock. Feeding the flock is a very important job because that is the Word of God is how the Spirit works in our lives. All right, the Spirit works through the Word of God. The Word of God works through the Spirit. And so the teaching of the Word of God is very important, and that is what the main role of the pastor is, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And so the pastor needs to be apt to teach, but if a deacon's not apt to teach, it doesn't disqualify the deacon from being a deacon. If he doesn't have any ability to teach, he stammers his words and he tries to get up in front of people and he can't really think of what to say, it's okay. That doesn't disqualify that person from being a deacon. The other part of that we don't see an overlap in is in when we look at the qualifications of the overseer. It says in verse 6, he must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. And so we realize that that is not a qualification of the deacon. The deacons can be recent converts. The deacons in the New Testament church are able to be recent converts. The only stipulation given towards that aspect of it is they must hold to the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience and let them also be tested first, then them serve as deacons if they prove themselves to be blameless. So a deacon does not have to be somebody who has been a convert so for so many years. A deacon can be a recent convert, but as long as they hold to the mystery of the faith, in which Paul says in Colossians chapter 2, for I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and those at Laodicea and for all those who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of the fullness, assurance, understanding, and knowledge of the mystery of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasure in the wisdom and knowledge. See, a deacon must be someone who is saved, all right? And so as we look at these qualifications, both of the overseer and the deacon, we also came to the conclusion when we were looking at them, we said the most remarkable thing about the qualifications is that they are so unremarkable. Because every qualification for the deacon, every qualification for the overseer is also something that we should be doing, right? We should all be dignified. We should all not be double-tongued. We should not be addicted to much wine. We should not be greedy of dishonest gain. We should hold to the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. We should be blameless. Let deacons be the husbands of one wife, managing their children and their own households well, for those who serve well as deacons gain good standing in themselves standing for themselves, and also confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. These qualifications are all things that we're to be doing. And that was the challenge several weeks ago, was as we look at these qualifications and we try to hold our pastors to this really high standard, and we'd hold our deacons to this next high standard, and then we say, well, we can do whatever. Well, according to Scripture, these are all things that we're to be doing. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. All those things are all things that are evident that the Spirit is working in our lives. All these things are things that we are to be doing in our lives as we go throughout the week. So what do we know about the establishment of deacons? Most people would go to Acts chapter 6. It's on the screen there, Acts chapter 6, when we look at when were deacons established in the church. We looked at this as well when we were talking about the pastors. The pastor's role, we said, was to preach the Word of God. We said the pastor's word was to devote themselves to prayer and to the ministry of the Word, which is in verse 4 of chapter 6. It says this all the way, though. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose, the Hebrews, because their widows were being neglected in daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples together and said, it is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And we see that they picked out 7 men. And they bless them, they put their hands on them and bless them as the deacons. Because the elders, the pastors, those disciple makers at the time, the apostles, they didn't want to be distracted from their main service, their main ministry, which was the Word of God. And so to not be distracted, they had to appoint men to serve these tables, to serve the widows. It wasn't that these men who were preaching the Word and presenting the Word and teaching the Word to the people in the early church were too good to serve widows. It wasn't that at all, because they were serving the widows up to this point. But they realized that there was coming a time right now, it's like a brink of time right now, and they couldn't do everything. And they weren't being able to fully preach the Word of God and teaching the Word of God and all throughout the week, because they were so distracted by, well, we got to do this for the widows, and we got to do this for these people, and we got to do this for these people. And so they said, here's what we're going to do. Pick out 7 people that are spiritual people in the body. Pick out 7 people, and we're going to appoint them to do those duties, do those deeds, do those ministry works. They were spiritual people. They would have been what Paul wrote to Timothy. They must hold to the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience, and them also be tested first, then let them serve as deacons. This wasn't just a popularity contest, so the most popular person in the church is going to be the deacon. This wasn't a popularity contest. This was choose 7 who are spiritual, who are filled with wisdom, who are full of the Spirit. It's the same thing that we see when church planters go into an area. When church planters go into an area, they go to set up a church. There's no church in the area, and so they're going to start visiting people. They start working with people. They start discipling people. And soon these people start coming. They start getting saved. Well, now there's a body. There's a church being built. It's not necessarily a building going up. It's not necessarily a meeting spot per se. Maybe it switches all the time, but people are coming to know the Lord, they're getting saved, the church is being built up, and so the pastor's doing all the work. He's teaching, he's discipling. The pastor is the one who's getting the phone calls saying, you know what, I need help with my roof, I need this plumbing fixed, I need this done, I need help with this. And so the pastor goes and finds these people who are being spiritual in the church. They might be recent converts because it's a new church. And so he goes and he sees these people who are spiritual in the church, and he says, you know what, can you help with these works and these ministries, these deeds? Can you help with these things? And the church appoints them to be deacons. I'm reminded of some stuff that Pastor Bill wrote in 2012, and he said this: Scripture does not set up deacons and elders as two separate legislative bodies, as the House of Representatives and the Senate in the United Congress, with the executive branch, the senior pastor, signing into the law and negotiating pieces of legislation. Scripture designates elders as shepherds of the church, while deacons are to be support to the elders' work through the caring of the church's physical needs. See, that's what a deacon does. A deacon lets the pastor go and do the spiritual guidance, the spiritual overseeing of the church, while the deacon goes and helps facilitate that direction through serving in the church. Pastor Bill went on to say this: the ministry of the deacon seemed to be established when talking about Acts chapter 6. He says the ministry of the deacon seemed to be established not as an emergency measure, but as a regular ministry in the church. It's important to note that the church birthed at Pentecost had elders, apostles in place who were previously commissioned to feed the sheep and make disciples. Deacons, however, were not established in the church until needed by the church. They were needed not for the sake of directional ministry, but to facilitate ministry already being directed. A mature church, we as Baptists often say, has at least one pastor and two deacons, but until it reaches maturity, it must at least have a pastor. We see the word ministry and the speaking gifts are necessary for the development of a deacon ministry, and therefore comprise the leading or the overseeing ministries of the local church. Serving gifts are given to facilitate the ministry that of the church, as guided by the word, and seeks to carry out. The word ministry of the elders guides the deed ministries of the deacons. And this is very clearly seen through Scripture. It's never seen in Scripture that the deacons had some sort of oversight over the spiritual matters of the church. That was left to the ones who were devoted to the Word, and that was left to the ones who were devoted to prayer. How important is the Word to us? How important is this book? How important is the Word of God to be taught to us? It's very important, because that's how the Holy Spirit works, isn't it? Holy Spirit works when the Word of God is taught. And when the Word of God is taught and the direction is set, then we see servants and ministry coming about. We see that in the church in Acts. There was already a set teaching going on, a direction. And this teaching was happening and these people were being fed. But then service needed to happen. And that service that needed to happen was being a distraction to the ones that were trying to give themselves to the teaching of the Word and to prayer. So they set up a group called servants, table servers, deacons, to do that work. We get into a problem when we start to view deacons and pastors in a hierarchy. We start to, not only as viewing the deacons and the pastors and the elders as the Senate and the House of Representatives, a bad move, but when we look at the deacons and we say, well, the deacons are second to the pastors and the pastors are first, and then the deacons come under the pastors and then the congregations under that, we really mess up what church is to look like. Because guess what? God's grace has made us all equal, right? We're all saints saved by grace. There's no longer Jew nor Greek, slave nor free. It's a matter of doing the ministries that God has wanted us to do. 1 Timothy chapter 5, Paul writing, he said, "Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching." In Hebrews chapter 13, the author says, "Obey your leaders, submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be no advantage to you." Leaders that the Hebrew author is writing about is the elders in the churches. Although deacons are not given to the oversight as a direction of spiritual direction of the body, they are given an important role of being servants. When elders lead ministry and deacons facilitate ministry, the body does ministry. When elders lead ministry and deacons facilitate ministry, the body does ministry. If we don't have someone leading ministry, ministry doesn't happen. If we don't have people facilitating ministry, ministry doesn't happen. Deacons are to be servants among servants. Deacons are to be ministers among ministers. They are not higher than anybody else. They are just the ones facilitating. 1 Corinthians 12:12 says this, "For just as the body is one, it has many members, and all members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews and Greeks, slaves and free, and we are all made to drink of the one Spirit." Paul finishes chapter 12 with these words, "Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in churches first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping and ministering in various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all do works of miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you still a more excellent way." And what does Paul go into when he finishes that? He goes into chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. And what does he talk about in chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians? Love. He said, "Are all apostles and all prophets, all teachers, all doing the work of the miracles, all possessing gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret?" The answer to that is no, of course. He says, "But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will still show you a more excellent way. And that way is love." Because what does he say in 1 Corinthians chapter 13? When he starts off, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and he says these words, "If I speak in tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I'm a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all that I have and I deliver up my body to be burned but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant nor rude. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoings, but rejoices with truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it'll pass away. But we know in part, and we prophesy in part. And when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall be fully, know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now, faith, hope, and love abides these three, and the greatest of these is love." See, it's not about, I want the role of the pastor so that I can control the ministry, or I want to be a deacon so I can control things. If that's your motive, it's not love. If your motive is, I want to be a pastor because, man, I love you. I want to be a pastor because I want to see the gospel go out. I want to be a deacon because I want to see this church move on with its ministry. I want to see us getting in behind a direction and just going with it. And I want to facilitate it in any way I can because I don't want to be a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. I want to love. I don't want to be an apostle. I don't want to be a teacher. I don't want to have to do all the works of healing and all the, I want to, that's what Paul's saying. He goes, you don't want to do that. God's given you a gift. Do the gift that God's given you. Don't always look at, well, this one's more noticeable. This one's up front. This one's got a title. He says, don't go after those things. Go after the highest calling. Go after the more excellent way. Go after desire the higher gifts. And that's love. Do the things God's gifted you in. So what's the role of the deacon? The deacon is a member of the church that is recognized by the body as being a servant leader. To be a servant in facilitating the ministry of the church. It's not a lesser category of person. A deacon is not just because they're not setting the direction and just because they're really not a sounding board for the spiritual things going on in the church. Just because they're not those things doesn't mean they're any less of a person. In fact, Christ says that he's a servant. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Christ tells us, and he sat down and he called the 12 to him, and he said to them, if anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all. In Matthew 23, he says, the greatest among you shall be a servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled. Whoever humbles himself will be exalted. This is a call for everybody. A call for everybody to be a servant. A call for everybody to do the work of the ministry because we're being equipped to do the work. Now we go out and do the work. It's a call. I heard it once from Matt Morrell. I love Matt Morrell, and he was over at Pillsbury. He came over to Northland. He was part of this church. He was one of my professors in my pastoral classes at Northland. He said this, at no point in time in our pastoral class, he said, he looked at every man in there and he said, at no point in time should you ever desire to be a lay person in the church. You should always be striving to be a deacon or a pastor. Know why? Because we're all called to those things. We're all called to be servants. We're all called to be dignified. We're all called to be blameless. We're all called to all those qualifications. It's not that you're doing it because you want the title, but you're doing it because you see the need and you want to facilitate it. So every one of you is called to be a deacon, right? Every one of you is called to be a deacon. You might not ever be recognized officially by the church as being a deacon, but you're all called to be recognized as a deacon, recognized as a servant in the church. I want you to read with me this as we close. Romans chapter 12 says this, and read it out loud with me. For as in one body we are all members, and the members do not all have the same function. So though we many are one body and individually members, sorry, I got way ahead of you there, having gifts that differ according to grace given to us, let us use them in prophecy in proportion to our faith, in service in our serving, and the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in his generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in the Spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in the hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer, contribute to the needs of the saints, and seek to show hospitality. You realize that is what we're all called to do. That is what we're all called to do. Ben's going to come up and lead us in the song, O Church Arise, and I hope that as we sing that song, that is truly our prayer. To take the truths that we've learned and to apply them to our lives. To take those truths that, you know what, we're all to be servants. And guess what, like I said last week, or 2 weeks ago when I was talking about the role of the pastor. The role of the pastor is just is not an elevated position. The role of the deacons is not an elevated position. Guess what? We are all one body. And we are all members of one body. The role of the pastor is to be doing the work of the ministry just as much as the role of everybody in here is to be doing the work of the ministry and to be serving, seeing needs, fulfilling those needs. When we get to the point where we start to look at the role of the pastor and the role of the deacons as elevated positions, we begin to give ourselves a little bit of slack saying, well, I don't have to do it because the deacon's going to do it. I don't have to do it because the pastor's doing it. That's wrong. We're all called to do the work. We're all called to strive to be deacons because we are one body made of many members. Ben, you want to lead in? Oh, church, arise.